السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، أحمده وأشكره وأستعينه وأستغفره وأتوكل عليه، وأصلي وأسلم على حبيبه ونجيبه وخيرته في خلقه، حافظ سره ومبلغ رسالاته، بشير رحمته ونذير نقمته، سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. اللهم صل وعلى آله الأطيبين الأطهرين وصحبه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، وصل على أئمة المسلمين وحماة المستضعفين وهداة المؤمنين، وصل على بقية الله في الأرضين. أوصيكم عباد الله بتقوى الله ونظم أمركم. I advise you all and myself to observe taqwa, piety, fear Allah and the chastisement of the day of judgment, and to beware of the signs in this dunya of our actions and consequences of our actions, and to organize our affairs, to organize and to conduct our religious activities as well as all everything else which all comes within the sphere of Islam in an organized fashion, because these are the two advice that Islam gives: piety and organization. We were discussing some important issues from Suratul Furqan regarding the qualities of Ibadur Rahman. Among their qualities, that is humility. Among their qualities is that they wake up at night and they cry and they ask for refuge of Allah from the hellfire. And they remember the punishment of Allah for the evildoers, and they take heed of the verses of Quran. We concluded last time on this message that hope and fear have to be balanced, and a believer must have hope in mercy of Allah and fear of the wrath of Allah at the same time. It is not enough to have one, only have hope and mercy of Allah and not fear. And when we say fear of Allah, it basically means the fear of the consequences of our bad deeds. And hope in the rahmat of Allah means that a person should not be disappointed with Allah, that he may not be forgiven, for instance, that he should give up. Giving up on the side of maghfirat and forgiveness is just as bad as being losing hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having no fear, or too much fear, or having too much hope is equally, it discourages person or takes him towards sin. Many people have no problem with having hope in the mercy of Allah. Umid, you know, hope, raja. Most people have no problem with that. They say, well, Allah is Rahman and Rahim, the Holy Quran is filled with that. Every chapter of Quran starts with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And it has become commonplace that people have umid and hope in the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The issue most people have is on the other side, not having fear in their lives, in our lives. So what we need to do is understand the effects of fear. Why is it important to have fear of Allah in our lives? Why is it not enough to have umid and hope in the rahmat and maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why is it not enough? Why have fear? Why have khushu? Why have haybat? Why is that important? Today we'll shed some light on this issue, and also the fact that they have to be there in equal amounts in the heart of a believer. It is narrated that the Holy Prophet of Islam, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he found out that one of the Muslimin in Medina got is sick and critically ill. So the Holy Prophet came to ask about his health and visit him, and he found him close to death. He was seriously ill, and he was basically taking his last breath. So the Holy Prophet came to him, and when he saw him in this condition, he asked him, "How is your condition? In what state are you in?" And the person who was critically ill, he said that, "I am in the condition that I have hope in the mercy of Allah, and I have fear for my sins that I have done." The Holy Prophet said, the combination of these two qualities, right? Hope and fear together, right? In the heart of a believer at such a time, when a particular time of departure from this world, the combination of hope and fear in the heart of a believer, it is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause him to accomplish what he is hoping for, and will save him from what he is afraid of. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide him for what he is hoping to get from Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save him, protect him from whatever he fears. So there is definitely effects, there are psychological effects, there are effects in a person's attitude and behavior when a person balances fear and hope together. Just as there are consequences of implications of that in the next life. Person who, let's say, dies just having one of these two and not the other, right? Then this is in a difficult place to be, because this carries along with it a lot of other things. We will discuss that. For example, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam said, when a person asked our sixth Imam, "Some people do sins and they say we have hope in the mercy of Allah. Hope that Allah will forgive us, they have hope in the mercy of Allah, and they do sins." And in their minds, they always have this same thought, always repeat the same thing until the time of death approaches them. Will they benefit from this hope that they have in the mercy of Allah? Imam alayhi salam said, this kind of people who are busy in their dreams are lying. They are not in fact hopeful in the mercy of Allah. They are not hopeful. A person who is hopeful is in search of that thing he's hoping to get. And one who is fearful keeps away from it, from those things which are harmful, right? Those who are void of this quality are turning away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pursuing actions that bring punishment to them. So it does not benefit a person if a person has only hope in his heart, in the mercy of Allah, and has no fear from Allah. Another hadith, Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam said, he said, "Man araf Allah, khaf Allah." A person who knows Allah fears Allah. "Waman khaf Allah, sakhat nafsuhu anid dunya." And a person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, he has no inclination towards this dunya. That means he detaches himself from this dunya. Fear of Allah takes over. And dunya means things that are low in nature, debasing, and things that distract a person from salvation, from path of salvation, and doing things for akhirat. Those things, right, a person becomes wary of those things, becomes wary of things that destroy his akhirat. A person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep himself away from all those things, all those practices. Fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been highly encouraged in our religion. In the hadith of Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, a person whose eyes get filled with tears out of fear of Allah, right, for every drop of the tear in his eyes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the size of the mountain of Uhud of reward on the day of judgment. Why would a person fear? Why would a person cry if he has no fear? Why would a person ever wake up to pray? Why would a person make that effort, right, to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even when no one is asking him? Why? Because he fears his own actions that he has done that are wrong, actions to himself, actions to other people, negligence of one's duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The more a person, right, remembers Allah, the more fear is in his heart is added, and that leads to what? Such ibadat. In the words of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, "Al-buka'u min khashiyatillah miftahu rahmatillah." He said, crying out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a key to the mercy of Allah. The key. This is how important it is. Crying, a person cries when he's emotionally really affected by something. There are some people who are good at pretending everything, but generally a person who cries for something, right, is deeply affected by it. Sad about somebody dying, sad for one's akhirah, sad for longing of being away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Fearing something, people cry. Right? Fearing something might happen, some dear one may pass away, a person cries. They are all natural emotions. Grief for Sayyid al-Shuhada and his family and his ashab in Karbala, what happened, a person listens to that, is affected by that, naturally. In the hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salli ala. Imam alayhi salam said, "La khawfa ka khawfi hajizin." There's no fear that has so much value as a fear that keeps a person away from sins. No fear has that much value as the fear that would cause a person to guard against sins. "Wala raja'a karaja'i mu'inin." And there is no hope like the hope of a person that wants to repent and do istighfar. Hope leads to istighfar, just as fear leads to abstinence from sins. Fear leads to taqwa, and umid, and hope in the mercy of Allah, leads to repentance. When a person has hope in his heart, shaitan cannot disappoint him. But if a person, let's say, especially if a person has done a lot of wrong things, this will be a waswasa, this will be a design of shaitan to not allow him to change, not allow him to improve, not allow him to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Basically, you tell him that you should give up. There's nothing you can do about it. You are so bad. You have done so much bad and evil things in your life. There's no hope in mercy, in rahmat. Psychologically, that is a disease. That is a bad place to be for a person. A person who gives up, says, "I'm bad anyways, I'm going to hell anyways, what does he do?" It's like a person who lowers his self-esteem and says, "I'm no one. Whatever I do, it's the same thing. Even if I do a little good, it doesn't count." because everything is bad anyways, right? Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam said in a hadith, Allahumma sallam, Al-ajabu mimman yakhafu al-iqab falam yakuf. He said, I am surprised at the person who fears chastisement but does not give up doing sins. وَرَجَسْ ثَوَابْ فَلَمْ يَتُوبْ. And I'm surprised as a person, right, who hopes that Allah will reward him, but he does not do tawbah. So see, hope leads to tawbah, and fear leads to taqwa. Fear leads a person to stop doing something wrong, right? It's a process. It's not like a person would just think of something and it happens. Actually, process, thinking and understanding something. It's like they say the dynamics of this. It's the philosophy in all this. Imagine a teacher in a school. So teacher can have different behavior, different attitudes towards the class or the students or a particular student. A teacher can say, you know, you will pass anyways, no worries. You're a great student, you do great work, everything about you is great, no worries, you'll pass. What would that do to the student? On the other hand, if a teacher says, you have failed anyways, there's no hope, right? Your scores are too low to survive. Whatever you do, you will not pass. What would that do to the student? But the good teacher and a good scholar and a good leader and a good parent is one who does not disappoint the child. At the same time, does not give a blank check, as they say, you know? He says, you're okay, you don't need to do anything. Spoil the person. Spoiling is just as bad as scaring the person too much. Really? So, because we need to be the positive, we need to be encouraging. Because both of these, khawf and raja, hope and fear, have equally important effects, psychological effects, on the soul of a person, on the mind of a person. They are both, in a way, motivational. They motivate the person to do something good. Either to stay away from bad or to do better, right? To be more forgiving in his heart because he hopes Allah's forgiveness, he's forgiving towards other people as well. But a person who is not, you know, forgiving, does not hope in forgiveness of Allah will not be that much forgiving towards other people as well. Because psychologically it disrupts the structure of the mind. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, he was asked by a person about great sins. Gunahan kabira, great sins. He said, what are the great sins? Imam alayhi salam listed 19 great sins for him. For each sin, Imam brought a verse of Quran. But two of those sins are about this topic. After shirk, which was the first thing, the biggest sin in Islam is shirk. The second one, Imam alayhi salam said, losing hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Losing hope. Innahu, he said in Surah Yusuf, said, Innahu la yayasu min rawhillah illa al-qawmul kafirun. Surely those who lose hope in the rahmat of Allah are the kuffar, are the unbelievers that have no hope in the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he said the third great sin is feeling safe and secure from punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He read Surah A'raf 99, he said, Afa aminu makrallah, are they safe from the makr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Fala ya'manu makrallah illa al-qawmul khasirun. No one is safe from the makr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except those who are losers. Only they think. No one, it's not about being safe or not, it's about they think they are safe. Those who are losers in dunya and akhirat, they think, right, that they are secure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish because of their lack of faith in tawheed, lack of faith in akhirat in the first place. And they have very little ma'rifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing Allah leads to fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then I will just mention one riwayat from Imam al-Mustaba alayhi salatu wasalam, Allahumma salam. In his last minutes, he was poisoned, as we know, and he was leaving this world, and he was crying. And the family members and some ashab and different people were around him, and they saw this grandson of Holy Prophet crying. And they said, "You are the one who is the grandson of Prophet. About him, the Prophet has said so much. You have done, I don't know, 20-something Hajj on foot. You have been the most generous and helpful person for everyone." They started counting who you are, and how can you be crying? And Imam alayhi salam said, "Innama abki li khaslatain. I cry for two things. Li hawlil muttala, for the sudden experience of akhirat, at the point of death. Wa firaqil ahibba, and losing my dear friends. Losing the dear ones who are the believers, the ones who are with me and on my path, and I'm in the service of Lord with them, right? Being away from them causes grief as well." Well, these are the qualities of our awliya and a'imma alayhi salam. They are teachings that we are taught, and it is the ni'mat of Allah. The biggest ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the walayat of Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask for forgiveness and taqwa in our lives. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa al-Asri innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. If you all may come closer to the member, please. Salawat. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الأطيبين الأطهرين المنتجبين سيما علي أمير المؤمنين والصديقة الطاهرة سيدة نساء العالمين اللهم صل على والحسن والحسين سبطي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى عليهم الصلاة والسلام وعلي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف القائم الحجة المهدي حجتك على عبادك وأمنائك في بلادك اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر صلى على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على. I remind you all and myself towards taqwa and pray for the forgiveness of all believers, mu'mineen and shuhada, and their exalted status in akhirat, and for us to follow the footsteps of our awliya. May Allah forgive our ancestors and parents who have passed away, and all mu'mineen and mu'minat from our communities, and give shifa to those who are sick in our communities, and help the people in distress around the world. In these few minutes, I just mentioned internationally the situation arising from the crisis in Syria. The world was shocked yet another time by the pictures of a little 3-year-old child's body washed up at the shore in Turkey. His 3-year-old boy was from among a family of refugees who were trying to cross the sea or take a sail a boat that probably capsized or was not allowed, or something, accidents that are now becoming a routine now. The Syrian crisis that was caused by international players and governments and imperialists and some Arab governments who for their business interests, for their political interests, they sent terrorists into Syria that caused enormous damage. And we don't know exactly how many people have lost their lives in Syria because of this conflict. But the current another effect of that is this crisis of refugees. Hundreds of thousands of refugees are trying to get entry into European countries to find asylum over there. to protect their families and children. And we see that Saudi Arabia has not allowed one single refugee from Syria to enter Saudi Arabia. And they are the ones who send the most terrorists and the money to fund these terrorists in Syria. And they have not given any safe passage to these Syrian refugees. Irrespective of whatever religious denomination they belong to, it just shows that how much deception is going on in the media, how much deception. And who takes the brunt of all this? Who pays the biggest price in all these things? The children and the women and the families, the old people. They're the ones who suffer the most. This crisis, you know, is one of those in the Middle East. They have been created, orchestrated. And then the media shows these things around the clock. Yeah, Muslims and these terrorists and these ISIS people and whatever, right? And you have some politicians right now saying that we have relations with them. We know who these people are. We see them. We talk to them every day. And some of the people say the same thing. And some of them say that we are fighting a war with these terrorists. The division among the world by, you know, rich and poor, by West and East, and these labels that have been assigned to people, color of skin, it leads to deprivation, leads to conflict in a society, it disrupts the harmony of a society. And exactly that is happening in the United States of America right now. Racism has taken the biggest toll on people's life here. Black people victimized in jails, victimized by police officers, victimized elsewhere, right? And leads to crisis in families, leads to other things. At the same time, we condemn the killings of law enforcement and police officers. No one can be allowed to take law in his hands. No one can be allowed to target any human being, especially law of a country, right? Stabilize, it has to, its duty is, law enforcement, these people, their duty is to keep a stabilized society, maintain security and peace, right? And catch the criminals. This is their duty. But at the same time, it is very important that with every authority comes a lot of accountability and a lot of responsibility. Well, we take the teachers accountable, we hold them accountable for how they treat a little kid. Shouldn't we be holding the law enforcement accountable who have guns in their hands and machine guns and assault rifles in their hands? Obviously, when a person has more authority, they must have more accountability with that. Otherwise, who's going to know? How are we going to know, for example, if someone was shot, was he innocent or he was doing something wrong? And here we see that the role of morals and religion becomes so important in society. The more you undermine the role of, you know, a common human faith, human morality, and I'm not talking about one particular faith, I'm talking about human morality, moral principles, that it must be grounds to establish the importance of human morals. There should be a philosophy that convinces everyone why good action is good, and why bad actions are bad. People should be convinced that good actions are good because they are good actions, not because of money or because they profit you, not because of any other reason, for political reasons, because good actions are good, and this should be inculcated from the early, you know, schooling, from elementary schools, from in the churches, in the mosques, in the synagogues, and other places. The human morals are something that has universal value. And there's no difference between whites and blacks and brown skin or whoever. But the moment we start discriminating and we say good action for one person, right, is a bad action of the other person, then there will be disunity in the society. And it will not in the advantage of anyone. Neither the people, nor law enforcement, nor any other, you know, government agency, it becomes hard. The best thing we can do is encourage people to hold on to their conscience. act upon their conscience. And conscience is something we should explain and talk about it and say, why human beings, and how is it that human beings understand good things as good? There should be a basis for this. But we have neglected religion, we have neglected philosophy in this society, we have neglected logic in this society, right? Everything has become relative. And liberal arts, which also confuses the mind so much, where there seems to be nothing constant in our lives anymore. Everything is subject to very subjective interpretations, relative. One person says this is good, the other says it's bad. Bad actions are justified, good actions are not appreciated. What's the result of that? It does not benefit anyone. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will stop violence in all forms and oppression around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our faith and our piety. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Idha ja'a nasrullahi wal-fath wa ra'ayta an-nasa yadkhuluna fi dinillahi afwaja fasabbih bihamdi rabbika wastaghfirhu innahu kana tawwaba.
امید غریبان تنها کجایی؟ چراغ سر قبر زهرا کجایی؟ تجلی طه گل عشق مولا دل آشفته داغ آن کوچه غم گرفتار گودال خونی دل افکار غمهای زینب سیاه پوش قاسم عزادار اکبر گل باغ لیلا پریشان دست علمگیر سقا نفسهای سجا نواهای باغ دعاهای صادق کسه بی کسی های شبهای کازم حبیب رضا و انیس غریب جواد الائمه تمنای هادی عزیز دل عسگری پس نگارا بفرما کجایی 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 دلم جز هوایت هوایی ندارم لبم غیر نامت نوایی ندارم وضو و اذان و نماز و قنوتم بدون ولایت بهایی ندارد دلی که نشد خانه یاس نرگس خراب است و ویران صفایی ندارد بیا تا جوانم بده رخ نشانم بیا تا جوانم بده رخ نشانم که این زندگانی وفایی ندارم که این زندگانی وفایی ندارم.